All right, we're going to continue our study in the book of Jeremiah tonight, and you can get your Bibles and turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 2. And as I read through this in my devotions, many of these things that Jeremiah was given by God to tell the children of Israel, it really hit home with me. Because Jeremiah, being the weeping prophet, his job that he was given by God was to remind the nation of Judah where they had gone away from God. Jeremiah weeps over the situation of the nation. As he looks out upon the nation, and his heart is broken over the condition of the people who live in Judah. And that's why it's called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah is given a very difficult task because of the ministry that Jeremiah is given. He is hated by those who listen to his words. As you will see, if you read through the book of Jeremiah, you will see that they persecute him. They throw him in a pit. A very difficult place. No doubt a difficult ministry for Jeremiah. Tonight we're going to look at Jeremiah 2, and God here begins to highlight for Israel, or for Judah, their sin and how they have turned their backs on God. Very lengthy chapter here, and there's lots of things to talk about. And so we're not going to really dig deep into this chapter. We're only going to look at an outline of what God has to say. So we want to understand, though, that as God is telling Jeremiah these words, he's trying to encourage the nation of Judah to turn around. They have quit following the Lord. They have gone back from following the Lord, and they have turned to idols. And God is, through Jeremiah, telling them where they're at and wanting them to understand their condition so they will turn back to the Lord. But as we know, Judah doesn't do that. And so we're going to study the words of God as given to Jeremiah here in Jeremiah chapter number 2. And we're just going to begin by reading. We're just going to go verse by verse and kind of read the chapter, maybe make a few comments along the way. And we might not get through the entire chapter, but we're going to try. Verse number 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. So God begins, and when he's talking about the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem, he says, I remember who you were in the beginning. Now, one thing we want to keep in mind is the New Testament tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:11, you don't have to turn there, that these things are written for our examples, for our admonition. God allows us to understand these things so that we can learn from the nation of Judah's mistakes. So we won't follow the same path that they followed, so that we can look at what happened to them and then look at our own lives and look at our own nation and maybe look at our own church and say, this is the path that Judah followed. We don't want to follow that path because here's what happened when they turned away from God. And as we look at our own lives, we're going to see here that God is going to tell them, you have gotten accustomed to your sinful condition. You don't even comprehend that you have turned away from me. We can learn from this also and caution ourselves that we don't fall into the same condition. where we grow accustomed to our sin, where we grow accustomed to being apart from God. And we learn from the mistakes of Judah. Also, God tells them, and we hear it often, God says, when you cry unto me, I'm not going to listen. You continue by your backsliding. I sent my correcting hand among you, and you would not listen. You would not turn. When you cry unto me, I'm not going to hear your cries. I'm not coming to rescue you this time. May we learn from that. That if God sends correction our way, and we refuse to hear, or we refuse to listen, God may say, you'll cry unto me, and I will not hear. So God is giving a lesson to Israel here, and let it be a lesson to us. I'm probably going to say Israel, and it's really Judah. I just can't help it. He's talking to the nation of Judah, but it's so easy to say the nation Israel. So the Lord remembers where they were at in the beginning. He remembers their kindness, their love, when they went after the Lord, when the Lord was important to them, when they were willing to follow Him in the wilderness. They were willing to go and follow Him to a place they did not know. They were willing to go, even though evil might face them. They were willing to follow the Lord. The Lord was important to them. The Lord was had first place in their life. The Lord remembers when they truly loved Him. And they loved Him so much that the Word says, you were holiness unto the Lord. You loved me so much and you were so willing to be my people that you practiced holiness. You practiced living righteous lives. You practiced living a life that was separated unto me. Says, I remember who you used to be. Is that a word of admonition for us tonight? I remember who you used to be. I remember how you used to love me. I remember how you had a kind and gentle heart. I remember when I had first place in your life. I remember when you loved to seek me first in the kingdom of God and my righteousness. I remember that about you. Is that what God is saying about you today? So God remembers the nation of Judah. Now I want you to notice also that God says, what happened? I remember who you used to be. You're not that anymore. What happened? Read verse number 4 and 5. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquities have your fathers found in me, that they are gone from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? What is there in me, God says, that would cause you to no longer follow me? Is there something wrong in me? Am I unjust? Have I not dealt with you the right way? Why are you gone away from me? Why are you walking now after vanity? Why are you become vain? What happened? Why did you stop following me? And next he asked them, why did you no longer seek me? In verses 6 through 8. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. God said, I brought you up, and I blessed you, and you began to no longer seek me. You began to seek after things that do not profit. You began to listen to the prophets of Baal, I blessed you and you ate the fruits thereof, but you turned away from me. You no longer sought me. They did not seek the Lord. Can that be said of you today? That in the beginning you were born again and your salvation was fresh and new and you were excited about the Lord and as time has gone by you enjoyed the blessings of God and God has blessed you greatly and somewhere along the line you stopped seeking the Lord. You stopped seeking the Lord's guidance. The things of God, you still do them, but they're not out of love, they're just out of duty. You're not really seeking the Lord, you're just trying to do what you know you gotta do. See, this, as we understand, this is how God views the nation of Judah. God said, I will plead with you, verses 9 through 12. Even though you have turned your back from following me, even though you have gone after the way of Baal, even though you have not appreciated all the blessings that I have given you, even though you have turned to things that do not profit, I'm still going to plead with you. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens of this, and be horribly afraid, and be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Here's what God is saying. He says, you go up and down throughout the country, you go up and down throughout the different lands, and these different lands, they follow their gods of their own making, gods with a little g. They have hewn them gods out of stone or out of wood, or they have made a god, and they have made them a statue or whatever they've done. They have created their own gods, and even though that god can do nothing to help them, they won't quit following their god. It puts me in the mind, remember, when Paul was there in Ephesus, I believe, and the people and how they followed after Venus, Aphrodite, and they made the little figurines, you remember. They said the statue fell down out of heaven. It didn't happen. They followed this goddess and she was a goddess of their own making, but they were not willing to turn away from that and turn to the true and living God. Think about all the people in the world who they follow these little gods and they give their lives to them. Think about the you've seen it on TV where these women, they will throw their babies to the crocodiles because they need to worship that. They will worship a crocodile who can help them. None at all. God is saying, they still follow their gods, and their gods can't do anything for them, never have done anything for them, never will do anything for them, but look what I have done for you. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I gave you plenteous blessings. I have done great things for you, but you quit following me. That goes beyond reason. My people have changed their gods, and they have followed after that. Verse 11 says, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. They quit following God who loved them and called them out of the wilderness and blessed them greatly and started following the ways of the world. You know what? How many people are like that today? Are you like that today? That you started following the ways of the world instead of following the ways of God? Here's what God has said. They have done two things. They have committed two evils. They have forsaken me and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. First of all, they have forsaken God, the one who loved them, the one that chose them, the one that blessed them. Why? Why did they quit following him? Was it because he asked them to live a holy life? Was it because he asked them to come out from among the world and be separate? Was it because he asked them to surrender themselves to him? To not live in the midst of sin, but to live in righteousness? Is that why they turned their back on God? Is that why they have forsaken him? Listen, those who worship Molech, again, what did they do when they worshiped Molech? They took their children and threw them into the fire. God didn't ask them to sacrifice their children. The gods of this world, many times in worshiping them, you remember when Elijah was on the mountain? Do you remember what the prophets there did? When Elijah was on the mountain, remember how they cut and mutilated themselves and caused themselves to bleed to try to get their God to come down and consume the sacrifice there, the prophets of Baal? God doesn't ask us to do that. Yet the surprising thing is, men are willing to do themselves harm and to hurt themselves and to punish themselves in order to gain the favor of a false God. They're more willing to do that than just walk humbly with the Lord, than to be faithful to God, to walk in righteousness. Israel had forsaken God, and many people have forsaken our God today. He says, I'm giving you grace, undeserved. You don't deserve it, but I'm giving it to you anyway. I'm giving you mercy. I'm not giving you what you deserve. I'm blessing you. Yet people will turn away from him because it doesn't hurt them enough, because he doesn't demand them to make some self-sacrifice. And what do? They turn away from the fountain of living water, the one that can provide their needs. And they have hewn out cisterns which cannot hold water. They have dedicated themselves to that which cannot help. I went home on Friday to visit Kim's dad. Mark Anthony made a purchase, and I went up there to make it legal. And so Leroy was talking about... He said, man, we got some real weirdos that live in South Shore now. He said, I went to Speedway, and he said, you would not believe the people that's coming in there now. And, you know, it's the people that have mutilated their bodies to a certain extent. And you know, think about that. The way the people will damage their bodies today, and they're doing it for liberty or for freedom, because I've got the right to do that. They're damaging their bodies. People will mutilate themselves and hurt themselves to worship the God of freedom. They're trusting in things that cannot help them. God's people have done likewise. They have turned away from that which will help to that which can provide no help. That's what God saw in Judah. I hope God doesn't see that in us today. God goes on to say and ask Israel, why are you spoiled? Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he then spoiled? In other words, you're not a slave. You're not a servant. So why is your nation being overtaken? Why are your goods being taken away? Why? And the spoiled doesn't mean here like a spoiled bread or spoiled meat. It means when one nation went to fight another nation and they took all of their wealth, that's called spoiling that nation. So God is saying, why is your nation being defeated? Why is all your wealth being taken away from you? Why is your country being spoiled? Why do you suffer? Verse 15, the young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the children of Noph and Tapanes have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself? And that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way. God says this, you have gained this for yourself. I do want to mention this for just a minute. Sometimes the difficulties we face in life come because of the choices that we have made. They are the consequences of the choices we have made. Sometimes we wish things weren't so difficult, but sometimes they are so difficult because of the choices that we have made. That's what's happening to Judah here. They have made the choice to not put God first and to not follow Him, and so therefore their nation is in upheaval. And sometimes our lives are in upheaval because we have chosen to not put God first, because we have chosen not to follow God, because we have chosen to go against His Word and to go against His will. Let's be careful. You have procured that for yourselves because you have forsaken God. Let's be careful. It's what God told Judah. And let's understand that sometimes that happens in our lives. And now what hast thou to do in the land of Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness, listen, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Judah is trotting a treacherous path. As my dad used to tell me, son, you're treading on thin ice. What that meant was, I've gone about as far as he was going to let me go. I was just about to get it. I was treading on thin ice. And this is what happened to Israel. God says, your wickedness and your backslidings, they should reprove you when you suffer because of your backslidings. But my fear is no longer in you. It's a sad, difficult, dangerous place to be when the chastening no longer affects you. It's a difficult place to be when the fear of God doesn't move you. If you can sin and not be afraid of the punishment of God, that's a dangerous place to be in. Because you are hardening your heart. You are becoming calloused. And that's a dangerous place to be. This is where Judah dwelt. Judah would no longer listen. Judah, the difficulties and the trials and the afflictions that had come into them in their life, it no longer affected them. They were no longer afraid to sin against God. Let's be careful. Let's be wary. Because if you can be disobedient against the Word of God and it not affect you, you're in a very dangerous, precarious place. This is a place that in which Judah was. You will no longer fear me. Here's how dangerous it was, beginning in verse number 20. God is reminding them that you are sinning and you don't understand your sin. You are sinning and you don't recognize it. Let's read. For of old time I have broken the yoke and burst the bands, and thou saidst, I will not transgress, and went upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Israel is saying, I'm not sinning against God. And yet all the time they were. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then are they turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? I planted a good seed. How is it that you turned into be a degenerate plant? Listen to this. Listen to what God says, verse 22. For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, and yet thine iniquity is marked before thee, saith God, how canst thou say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam, I have not see thy way in the valley? Know what thou hast done? Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways, a wild ass, used to the wilderness, that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves in her mouth, yet they shall find her. God is saying, Israel doesn't understand their sin in verse number 23. They have grown accustomed to sin because as the wild ass snuffeth the wind of pleasure, that means that they don't understand. The wild ass doesn't comprehend the dangers around them, and Israel doesn't understand the position that they are in. Israel, listen, verse 25, withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat from thirst, but thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them I will go. They have turned their back and have turned to idols and will go after the strangers. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, they have turned to idols of their own making, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. So they have turned their back from following God. They have become accustomed to their sin. They can't comprehend it when God is trying to remind them of their sin. They are saying, we're going to go ahead. They're turning their back away from God, and they're turning to the stone, and they're turning to the stock of their own making. And then trouble's going to come, and they're going to call into God. What's God going to say when Israel says, arise and save us? Verse 28. Here's what God's going to say. Where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Here's what God's going to say. You made you gods? Go pray to them. Where are they at? Why are you coming to me? You turned your back from me. You didn't want to follow me. You wanted to go after those gods. You wanted to go after those idols. When you come to me and cry, I'm going to tell you, go look to them. Let's be careful, because if we follow the ways of the world and we no longer seek God, you know, one of the dangers that I have, or one of the dangers I see in our land today, is people only want to call upon God in the hard times. They only want to call upon God when they are facing difficulty. God is not inclined, God doesn't have to come to you in that time. If you turn your back from following God and you want to follow the idols of the world, just because you call out to God doesn't mean He's always going to answer. If you have sinned against Him and are following the ways of the world and have given yourself over to the idols of this world, when you call upon God, He might say, listen, if you want to follow the ways of the world, follow the ways of the world. That's what He told Judah. We have this thinking in our land today that it doesn't matter how we live, it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter what's going on, as long as we decide we're going to turn back to Jesus, and all I got to do is say, I'm sorry, God, and God will be there to hear us every time. Not so, according to this scripture. There comes a time when God says, if that's what you want, if you want to follow the ways of the world, go get them, boy. If you want to follow the wisdom of this world and not follow my wisdom and not follow my ways, it doesn't matter if you call me, it doesn't matter if you beg to me, it doesn't matter if you plead to me, I'm going to let you have your way. We need to be careful, because it is our thinking in our land today that if God, we want to, we can just say, I'm sorry, God, and everything's hunky-dory, everything's okay. That's not the case. As we read in the book of Jeremiah, listen to the words of God as He continues to speak. Verse 29, wherefore will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. Why are you coming to me? You're transgressing my ways. You're transgressing my world, words. Why are you coming to me? In vain have I smitten your children. I have brought chastening upon your children, and they have received no correction. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. You have attacked my men. They have prophesied unto you and prophesied truth unto you, and all you have done is attacked my men. Why are you coming to me now? Why do you expect for me to listen to you? You are attacking my men. You see, it's a serious thing to lay an accusation against the men of God. Serious thing. Verse 31. O generation, see you have the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why turnest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall now turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Israel still does not understand their sin against God. They still do not understand that they have turned from following. They have forgotten me, God says in verse number 32. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. They have claimed innocence. But God is saying, I'm going to remind you. You are going to learn. Verse 37, yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thy head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. The Lord rejected their pleas, their confidence in Egypt, and their confidence in Assyria. God has rejected that. Do you see the seriousness of what God is saying to Judah? He is reminding them who they are. He is reminding them of their sin. And he's saying, you're suffering, and I will not listen, and I will not hear, because you have turned to idols. Tonight, let that be an admonition to us. Let us learn that it's a serious thing to turn away from God. God does not take His relationship with us lightly. Some of us take our relationship with Him, and it doesn't matter what I do, how I live, where I go. It doesn't matter if I'm dedicated to the Lord or not. It doesn't matter if I'm dedicated to the house of the Lord or not. It doesn't matter if I dedicate my time and my talents and my treasure. It doesn't matter. God's always going to be willing to take me back. He's there. All I got to do is call on Him and He'll answer me. That is true to a certain extent. But there comes a time when God says, okay, enough's enough. I've been long suffering with you, but it's time for you to learn. You know, we've got to learn that on our own. We've got to learn that there comes a time when God says, enough's enough. And sometimes in our own lives, we've got to understand that we tell others, okay, enough's enough. These are serious words, and we need to learn them. and make sure that we don't follow the same path that Judah followed. Let's make sure that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, that we first of all are saved by the grace of God. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and we've surrendered ourselves to Christ. And then we're truly consecrated unto Him. We have truly surrendered our lives to Him, and He is number one in our lives. We are truly seeking His will and His kingdom first. And God is first in our life, and everything else is secondary. We make sure that we are truly dedicated, and then let's make sure that we're honoring God with our lives. And let's turn away from the ways of the world and make sure we are following the ways of God so that we can know and hear and understand and Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Let's stand together for a word of prayer.